I invite you to turn your copies of God's Word to the 29th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. Of course, 1 Chronicles is going to be found right before 2 Chronicles and right after 2 Kings. So I invite you to turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is the last chapter of the book. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9 in this portion of God's holy and inerrant Word. So let us go again, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of the thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to Your Word again this afternoon on this glorious day that You have set aside for Your worship, dear God, we pray through the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would continue to use Your Holy Word for the blessing of Your saints. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you likely know, the events of this chapter were a long time in coming. Here at the end of 1 Chronicles, it's been about 500 years since the people of God were brought out of Egypt, and close to 400 years since they crossed the River Jordan and entered the land promised to them by Jehovah and promised to Abraham and the other patriarchs. This is a culmination of a number of promises that God has made to His covenant people. You know, earlier today when we read from 1 Thessalonians, we heard of the patience of hope. Think about the patience that it must have taken for the people of Israel looking forward to this particular day that God had set aside for the beginning of such a great and masterful building experience as the completion of the temple of the Lord. Especially anyone who's been involved in any kind of building project, especially in this day of mountains of red tape and code books thicker than the New York City phone book, know the complexities and especially the costs involved in such a work. Not that long ago at the Ellsworth Presbyterian Church, we suffered damages from a windstorm that ripped off all of the siding off of our steeple. And when we went to State Farm to find out what it was going to cost, first of all, we were glad that our payment was only going to be $500 because that's what our deductible was. But we found out it was going to cost almost $7,500 to us to fix the steeple in our church. And most of that cost was going to be renting a lift so a man could get up high enough to fix these things. And it was amazing to us that something outwardly as simple as just replacing siding was going to be so expensive. So you can imagine here as the people of God are being confronted with the cost of the building of the temple of the Lord as they look back to the books of Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and see what the Lord their God commanded that the temple would look like, that they must have been overwhelmed not only by the cost, but by how hard this was going to be. We hear this a little bit in the words of David as he's speaking here at the beginning. He says, "Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom God has chosen, who alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God.'" Imagine as they're hearing David say this, you can almost hear in the response a twinge of just an unbelievable response to how this is going to happen. And it's important to see here what David does in response to what he knows is going on in their own hearts and their own minds. You remember, of course, that David had been barred by the Lord from building this house. You know, that had been taken away from him because of his transgressions against the Lord. So we see here in 1 Chronicles 29 something about the nature of the heart of David, the nature of his character. You know, it would have been very easy for David in anger, in his own kind of a way of being brought to a sadness at not being able to do this, to kind of leave this at the feet of the people and say, "The Lord's house is for you to build. Good luck." That's not how we see David respond here. Again, David shows forth to the people the way in which he understands his role in the purposes of God by providing a vast amount of money and material for the temple. Again, he leads the people in what it looks like to give freely that which belongs rightfully to the Lord. Again, you go through this list again of the things that David prepares. Again, "Now for the house of God I prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron." You know, you just take one example of something that had to be built. I mean, think of the giant bronze lavers that were in front of the temple. Imagine how much bronze had to be smelted in order for those lavers to be built. Well, again, David had given of his own wealth, of his own material, for these things to be made. Again, David here is providing leadership, a picture of what true godly leadership looks like. Again, it's a selfless, a free offering of the talents, again, no pun intended here, talents that God had given him to provide that which belonged to the Lord. And so as we come to this passage today, as we see this witness of the work of David, again, think even more directly towards the David who is to come. Think of the example that Christ Himself has set for us, of the way in which He has given of Himself the necessary requirements for the people of God. Again, He has not pushed that responsibility off to someone else, but He has taken our sins upon His own body, upon His own nature, and has sacrificed Himself on that cross of Calvary that we might be the recipients of such great a gift. So as we come to this passage again, as we see David leading in this way, again, one of the things you see David say over and over again is of the nature of his giving. Again, it's a free offering. And he's not giving out of compulsion. He's not giving out of duty. He's giving because he sees what the blessing that God has provided for him in order, again, that God's temple might be built in accordance with his will. We see a similar kind of thing spoken in the New Testament when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about the needs of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you hear Paul write, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. When I come, whatever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." Again, you see here that Paul is calling upon the members of the church at Corinth to look at how the Lord had prospered them, reminding them, again, that what they had been blessed with did not belong to them, but belonged first of all to the Lord, and then secondly to the church, to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And this giving, again, was not to be out of compulsion, but freely for the love of the saints. And again, this nature of love is something we also see in the way that David is speaking to the men here in 1 Chronicles 29. Again, as he goes on here, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God." Again, notice again the attitude of David in the giving here. Again, he has set his affection on the house of the Lord. And of course, he has set that affection because it is the Lord's house. Again, his focus is upon who God is and what God has provided for him. Again, as we've already noted, it would have been very easy for David to just kind of pass this responsibility off to someone else because he had had that gift taken away from him. Again, it's a way in which David provides for us an illustration of how we are to respond to the gift that God has given to us. Again, that we are to be reminded of the blessing of the Lord our God, not only in the obvious ways of giving offerings to the church, but the many ways in which God has blessed us with talents, whether they be the talents of ministry, the talents of ruling eldership, the talents of being a deacon, or whatever particular role God has given you in His kingdom. You are to remember that it is God who has called you to that particular office. Again, whether you're a husband or a wife or a child, or whether you are an owner of a business, whatever particular place you are in the kingdom of God, you are to look at that and then respond likewise in accordance with the blessing that you have been given by the Lord our God. Again, notice what David says here. Again, he has set his affection on the house of my God. I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, again, my own special treasure of gold and silver. And he goes in here and lists these things again. And he gives here a challenge. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Again, the challenge that David gives here is much in keeping with what you hear from Joshua at the end of his book when he speaks to the people. Again, what does Joshua say there again today? My family and I have again served the Lord our God. Are you willing to do so also? Again, this is the call that we see from David to the people. Again, I have done these things. I have set these things forward, not for my glory, not that my name might be proclaimed among men, but the Lord's name might be proclaimed among men, that His house might be a one of prayer, not a den of thieves, but a place where the people of God can gladly go and serve Him and see again the fulfillment of the promises that have been made to their forefathers and to their grandfathers all the way back to the days of Abraham. And as we look here at the way these things are happening, again, we see also the rejoicing of the people in regards to these things. And David's rejoicing in verse 9. Again, the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. Now here we see something else about the nature of the people who are giving of these things. Again, they're giving out of a loyal heart. Now, what is loyalty? Again, loyalty is something that is very valued and not something we see a lot of in this day. But what does it mean to be loyal to the Lord our God? Again, when we see the Lord God, when we look at Jehovah, again, we are reminded constantly of what God has done for us in the sending of His Son. Again, how can we not but respond loyally to everything that God has provided and respond in thanksgiving and with joy at what God has provided? Because again, remember that God was not required in any way to save us from our sin. But again, God willingly, Christ willingly went to the cross for our sin. Again, He joyfully went there in many ways so that we could be reconciled to our gracious Heavenly Father. So even though this passage in 1 Chronicles 29 deals with something as seemingly mundane as a building project, and it is full of pictures and images which project to us the nature of the Christian faith, the nature of the gospel itself. You know, very often we can go to the Old Testament and treat it as nothing but just kind of a source of moral tales, a source of just kind of basic history of how the New Testament came to be. It's important for us when we go back and read these passages, especially in the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which often have a tendency to be skipped over in our daily devotions. We see the beauty of each page of Holy Scripture as they testify to the nature of God's most perfect grace. And so as we close this afternoon, as we see again David's rejoicing at the work that God had given to, as he gladly calls other men to do likewise, again, not for his benefit, but to think again of the nature of what God has done to bring them to this place, that the temple of the Lord might be built for His glory, so that the people could come in and offer their sacrifices, again, as a witness, again, to the nature of that which was to come. Again, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Anointed One, the coming of the perfect sacrifice for sin. So as we go out this week into a world that is denied Christ crucified, again, let us remember again the blessings that we have received by God's grace. Again, let us respond again with this loyalty to the King of Heaven. Let us remember again the calling that He has given to each and every one of us to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of love, out of grace, and out of mercy, and of all these things in His precious and holy name. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we give thanks for, again, the gift of Your Son. We give thanks for the example of these godly men who have gone before us, again, who have sought to serve You as the King of Kings. And for God, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.